How much of what we own belongs to God? Hello, I'm Paul Dibdahl, and welcome to another edition of The Good Word. Our topic this week is stewardship, and my conversation partners are Dr. Dave Thomas and Dr. Carl Cosart, both colleagues of mine in the School of Theology.
Greetings, Paul.
At Walla Walla University. Greetings.
Yes. Yes.
So, stewardship, kind of a strange word. It's not totally unfamiliar to us, but we don't use it very often. What would be an approximate translation into more common English? Steward. A steward is what?
Someone who manages.
Manager. Maybe that's the closest.
I think manager is a good word, and the implication is that you are managing things that don't belong to you.
Do not belong to you.
You're managing something in behalf of somebody else.
Okay. If we were to look in the book of Psalms, Psalm 50, verses 9 through 12, we have presented there what I think is the foundational principle of stewardship, and it relates to the question that I posed at the very beginning of the broadcast today. How much of what we have or what we are or what we own belongs to God? According to Psalm 50 and other places in Scripture, what would the answer to that question be?
He owns everything. I mean, it's...
So when I say my house or my job or my talents...
Well, I think, Paul, that if you are a follower of God and you believe that He made this world and the things in it, and that He is instrumental in giving you life, then anything you have exists, or it's in your hands because of some prior activity by God. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that any personal claim to anything by a Christian is a statement of contingency. It's for the time being, and it's a manner of speaking. That those are things that God has entrusted to you for a number of reasons. But I think that you cannot, from a Christian perspective, cannot claim absolute ownership of that, of anything you have or are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, that is a dominant message we do see in the New Testament and so forth in the parables of Jesus. It's always a steward who's administrating his owner's property. And in Paul's day, New Testament times, that was largely what happened. You'd have slaves who would be responsible for running various portions of their master's household, and one of those areas would be finances, property, etc. So stewards.
And it's certainly the story of Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house, isn't it?
Very true.
In fact, he was such a good steward that he was given complete control of all of Potiphar's household.
Now, in past weeks, you have both accused me of tricky questions. This might be one of them. But often when we talk about stewardship from a Christian perspective, we think of our time that God has given to us, the talents or abilities that God has given to us, and our treasures. Often we say time, talent, and treasure, our financial resources that we have access to. Here's maybe the tricky part of the question. What do you think is most difficult for people to... In which area of life is it most difficult to acknowledge that we are merely stewards of what God has given? Is it our time, our talent, or our treasure? Where do you think most people struggle?
Well, I think first it's good just to acknowledge that you're acknowledging that your questions can be tricky sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. That's good. Time, talent, treasure.
I would say time. Hmm. I would say time, because time is really what life is made up of.
Mm-hmm.
And we give time to things that either we enjoy or that we regard as significant. And to give time to somebody else or to something else is really probably the most significant gift we can give. Mm. I notice that sometimes when somebody comes to me and they want to talk and I spend time listening, that is a great gift, to actually listen to someone to understand what they're saying. Money is easy to give. You write a check and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Talent, most of us, the talents we have bring, the exercise of them or the use of them brings an element of joy. And so, but time, giving away time, that's plain inconvenient.
I would have to agree. I mean, you see this also today in our busy work society where parents are more willing to even give their children large amounts of money as a gift, but often they don't have the time to spend with them.
And I wonder, this is, maybe it sounds too judgmental. Parents are wanting to give something, and in some sense, I think the gift of things or money is a kind of compensation for the lack of time that they are able to give and that they would like to give oftentimes. Does every person receive the same – this isn't a tricky question. No. Does every person receive the same amount of ability or talents? Does God give equal talents to each person?
I mean, first, I think the answer would be we all have the receive the equal amount of time. But I think when it comes down to these other issues, the answer is no. There are different abilities, different gifts, but still the same responsibility, I think, in the sense of being a manager of something that belongs not to us, but belongs to our Maker ultimately.
And you know, I learned some years ago to quit trying to evaluate the value of people's talents and abilities because I am astonished at how often somebody who seems to have no ability can be very, very effective. Whereas somebody who is blessed with all kinds of abilities achieves little. And I think one of the things I like about the economy of God, if I can put it that way, is that it seems to be upside down in relation to the world. The little, weak, puny things in the eyes of God, I mean, the things that are puny and weak in our minds and inconsequential in God's economy can be huge. And the things that we think we should all strive after in the economy of God don't amount to a whole lot.
There's a passage in the first part of the First Samuel, which talks about deeds being weighed by God, and that to me has always been a powerful passage because we look at things people do, abilities, and so forth, and we tend to put a lot of stock in the flashy, glitzy, sort of bright and shiny things, and you put some of those things on God's scale. And they wouldn't tip it. They wouldn't move it at all. And other things, just as you said.
And so I like to read the story of the widow's little gift every now and then where she brought the smallest coin of the realm. And Jesus made a big deal about it. It reminds me one time in church I saw an offering in a little envelope of 10 cents. It was marked tithe. It was a child. I found it was the child's first tithe they'd ever paid. And I made a big deal about that. I actually held it up in front of the church and I said, you know, folks, this is probably the most important gift that was given in this church last Sabbath, with the permission of the child, of course.
You know, the flashy gifts remind me of a term we use often in the health world, which is empty calories. oftentimes flashy, but when it comes down to substance, maybe it's not always there like they should be in the long term.
Well, that's a wonderful segue, too, into my next question, having to do with stewardship of our health, our bodies, which have been given to us by God. It seems that in that area, the area of stewardship of our health, it's really difficult to achieve a balance. And I think this is partly a personality thing, but there are some people who, when they recognize God's interest in our bodies, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it's easy to carry that to such a degree that we might feel guilty about eating anything that is, that is delicious. Is it sinful to have a bowl of ice cream? Should we ever eat refined, you know, you could go on greasy foods, should we feel guilty about putting mustard on a sandwich? And I think that probably within our listening audience, there will be a difference of opinion there on this topic. How do either of you respond to this kind of issue? How do we care for our health responsibly, but yet not focus on it in a fanatical sort of way?
Yeah. How do you measure up in the area of health? Well, I think it's not by your waistline. It was for many of us would be in trouble. But it is a very challenging issue, I think. And once again, this is an area where it comes down to an issue of self-control and why you do what you do. And oftentimes, I think the difficulty with food is that food can become an escape route. And that's where we live in a society where it looks to use food to solve the troubles and worries of life. And I think that's where Christianity does have an important message when it comes down to health. Where do we find our comfort and our solace? Is it in a bowl of ice cream? or do we find it in our Lord and Savior? So I think that's one place to look.
Okay. And I always think when I run into issues like that of balance, you know, the body is an amazingly resilient thing. You can take in some sugar without mm-hmm. doing yourself any great harm. You can take in some fat. You can take in, but, you know, if you balance things, mm-hmm. don't go off into any extremes, and also if you look at the trend of your living, the body is an amazing mechanism that can recover or adjust to certain circumstances. But if you keep it going in one direction, either overuse or underuse or this way or that way, then I think is when you start getting in the most trouble. So.
Okay.
But I do think there is a role in the Christian life for still denying some of our natural inclinations.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right.
And I think in our society today, we've tended to go to the other direction where it's almost anything goes. And I think that there is an important message in what we call as Adventist health reform, but health reform is not the gospel. I think it's a fruit or a consequence of a life lived for God.
Okay. We don't have much time left, but we need to get to the issue of stewardship of finances, of our treasure. And again, I say our treasure. The point we tried to establish was that it all belongs to God. James chapter 1, chapter 2, all talk about concern for those that have less when it comes to financial resources. Christians in the so-called Western world are wealthy by the world's standards. When you realize that approximately half of the world's population lives on less than $2 per day, I think we realize just how wealthy we are. What's our responsibility to the rest of the world and in their poverty, much of them? How does a Christian in the West live with a clear conscience?
Well, I don't think just throwing money at the problem is the answer. I think that money is best used when it creates opportunity for people to dig out of their circumstances. And, you know, I especially like these things like microfinance. You know, just giving aid is not always the best thing. I think there are some cases where a situation is so bad that all you can do is give aid to alleviate people's immediate suffering. But just giving money is not a thing. And I think every Christian should be involved in some kind of contribution of money to help create opportunities for people in other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and doing so, it's an enriching kind of experience mm-hmm. for us, and I do mean that in the fullest sense of the word, an enriching sort of experience for us to be able to minister to the needs of others, and I think God blesses us in the process.
Mm. See, to be honest with you, I don't like to track those gifts mm-hmm. myself. I like to give that kind of money to organizations that are doing that, and then I like to be silent and let them take care of that business. Not that I wouldn't like to hear a report once in a while, but I don't want to track what happened to
my
kids.
Nice to see the results, though, sometimes.
And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Well, may the Lord help us in our stewardship of all of His resources. Thank you, Dave and Carl, for your willingness to share. Thanks also to Josiah Hackerott, our program engineer. Thank you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.